Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
I want to continue. The plan today is to share part two of talking about the wonderful, beautiful, powerful, comforting Holy Spirit. Shared part one last week and want to continue that this week. We are so desperate for the Holy Spirit. I am. Speaking of myself, I'm desperate for Holy Spirit in my life, more his everything that he is. We talked some last week about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Jesus took time toward the end of his time here on the earth to share lots of things about the Holy Spirit and what he would do when he would come and to be ready for him, to receive him. And so want to continue talking about that, the eagerness that Jesus had. His great desire was that you and I would be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the desire of Jesus. You want to know one of the desires of Jesus is that his people would be filled with his Spirit. It was really the last part of his mission to the earth when he did all that he did and he paid for our sin and he purchased our salvation and then he rose from the dead. He still wasn't done. The last thing that he did was when he went back to heaven, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Sending the Holy Spirit was the very last thing, even though it was finished, the work that he was going to do was finished on the cross. His last action, perhaps, of his mission to the earth was when he returned and sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. It's so important, and we're going to talk about this beautiful day, Pentecost Sunday, which is today. In John chapter 20, verse 19, we read this last week. I'm going to start with this today. Jesus, it says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Resurrection Day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, when the doors were shut, the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So they didn't recognize him initially. They were afraid. They had just seen him crucified from a distance. There was great fear, and they're in this room, locked in there, afraid of what might happen next. And Jesus appears in the room. They don't recognize him right away till he shows them his hands and his side. And he says, peace be with you. Then they rejoiced. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. If Jesus is saying peace be with you, you probably need it, especially if he says it twice, right? Peace be with you. Well, peace is spectacular. There's nothing like peace. It's one of the signatures of God. It's part of the presence of God. Where there's peace, there's a great time to make a decision when there's peace. Don't make a decision, especially the important one, when there's anxiety, when there's pressure, when there's stress, when there's striving. That's the absence of God. God is, he part of who he is he brings peace. Plus, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So there's about a sending that will take place. Something has to happen first, but there's a sending that is coming. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Jesus breathed on him and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear that word a lot today as I share. Receive, the word receive. Receive the Holy Spirit. In the economy of God and the way that he does things, I love this about God. I love everything about God, but this one so stands out to me is that all the things that God has done for us, we receive. We don't earn. And that's incredible. Your salvation, can't earn it. Forgiveness of your sin, can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work hard enough. You can't stress out about it. Everything that God has to give, we receive. That's the best deal ever. Goes right against the religious spirit that we were talking about. We are to receive. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. He's telling them about what's about to happen. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. We'll talk about forgiveness in another day. But a part of, let me just say this, a part of what the Holy Spirit does, it's help us to forgive other people. I have seen him do that for me. When I could not forgive someone, I tried. I would say it over and over and over. And I needed the Holy Spirit to help me to forgive. And that's part of what he does. But he says, Jesus here, receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the great gift to be received into yourself. Holy Spirit is the gift of God to be received into yourself. The proud, the self-righteous, the striver gets nothing from God. Isn't that interesting how he's done this? It's the child that receives everything. It's the humble that receives what God has to give. It's not the proud. It's not the, yeah, but I did this for you, and I nope, it's not how it works. It's the one who receives what God has done. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to over 500 people over 40 days. Who knows how many he appeared to, but we know at least 500. He was moments away from ascending to heaven, rising off the ground into the clouds, disappearing from sight. But before he ascended into heaven, he said a few more words. And of course, he starts talking about the Holy Spirit again. He's like, you guys get ready for this. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, reading out of the Passion Translation here. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about. The gift the Father has promised. The Spirit of God is a gift to us to be received, he's saying. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Again, I love the ways of God. He didn't tell them, disciples, you've been following me this long. Here's what I want you to do now. You need to climb Mount Hermon barefoot. You need to then get on your knees for this amount of time. You need to be fasting. You've got to do something really good to deserve this. He says none of that. The only thing I want you to do, he says, is just wait. Don't leave, just wait. And you will receive what I'm about to give you. The Holy Spirit, you'll hear me saying that because the scripture says that. He has several names. Some can say, you could say Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. Both are in the Bible. Or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Jesus. And the old translations translated Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, right? That'd be King James and things like that. That's okay too. So he has lots of names. Jesus' favorite name for the Holy Spirit was the Helper. It's all the same person. The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. So we refer to him in any one of those names. It's not that you have to say it just perfect or else he's upset. No. He's referred to so many different, through different names. And today, of course, is Pentecost, this celebration, annual remembrance of him coming, the fulfillment of the feast of Shavuot, this fulfillment, the three big feasts. One of them is, of course, the Passover. Jesus fulfilled that. And then Pentecost, Shavuot, that's this fulfillment, the Holy Spirit coming, and then Jesus returning is the third feast. And he hasn't fulfilled that one yet, but he will. And Christianity is not mind belief only and doctrine adjustment only. Having doctrine or mind belief. It is a wholesale giving of our lives to God and receiving him in his fullness. So many things the enemy tries to do inside of Christianity is to reduce Christianity to a set of beliefs. to reduce Christianity to a certain doctrine. My goodness, that's a shame. It's so sad. We have much more than a set of beliefs. It's great to have a set of beliefs. But we have the living God who has chosen to live on the inside of us, to fill us. It's pretty mind-blowing, to be honest. But Jesus said, this has been the plan all along, that I would send the Holy Spirit, that he would, in fact, he said, it's going to be better for you when I leave, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to live on the inside of you. He's going to do things that you can't do and no one else can do. He will do in you and through you. It really is a mind-blowing thing. And I think that's one reason the enemy has taken advantage of it being so mind-blowing to reduce this experience and this person of the Holy Spirit to something that is just a symbol. Just a symbol. That's what religion does. That's what the enemy has done, reduce the Holy Spirit to just a symbol. Something good that you have, maybe, but not the person of God dwelling on the inside of you. And so I want to even recapture and celebrate. This holiday is not celebrated a whole lot, and it really should be. It should be celebrated nearly as much as Easter, in my view, as the resurrection of the Spirit of God coming to live on the inside of us forever. We'll get to that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, again, right before Jesus ascends, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, Dominican Republic, and other places. It didn't say that in there. But you will receive power to be my witnesses wherever you go. And you're going to go throughout the earth. The Spirit of God gives us power to be a witness of Jesus. And he's the helper. He'll help us with everything. Do you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't just help with spiritual things? He helps with everything. He helps with decisions you need in your life. He'll help with your job. He'll help you work around the house. I have cried out to him underneath the sink when I couldn't get a nut undone. And tried and tried and banged and scraped my knuckles till they're bleeding, trying to figure out how to get this dumb nut off so I can get replace the faucet. And finally, I said, Holy Spirit, help. And I went, and there it went. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I waited all that time and my effort without relying or leaning or asking the Holy Spirit, the helper. He is the person to help you in every part of your life. We need him desperately, I do, and he's available. John 7, 38, 39, Jesus said this. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, speaking of his spirit man, will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water will flow from the inside of someone who follows Jesus. But this says, verse 39, there's an interpretation. He spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. In the future, at this point, in the future, people would receive the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water would just flow out of them, move through them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, let's go to the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, this buildup of what Jesus is saying, this is what happened when the Holy Spirit comes. Wait and receive him, receive him, receive him. He breathes on them. It all culminates until this day. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They're in the upper room. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. A noise like a violent rushing wind. I've heard people describe living through, and some of you may have done this, lived through a tornado. I haven't. And some have said it sounds like a freight train coming through the house. I would imagine there was something maybe a little bit similar to that. This violent, rushing wind probably sounded like a freight train, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, when they looked at one another, 120 of them in there, when they looked at each other, they see tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Around 120 people receiving the Holy Spirit or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. What an event, a moment, a beginning of something that was to happen over and over and over from that moment forward. And something that happened post this moment was the change in behavior of those who had been filled. Their lives changed. Their behavior changed. They were different. Peter, who not but a few days before was denying that he even knew Jesus, right? Afraid. He suddenly has this boldness and he's speaking because you got over 3,000. Several thousand people hear that noise of that violent rushing wind and they come and they surround the house that they're in. And Peter goes out there and starts preaching to them. He's got a boldness like he's never had. Jesus has just been crucified 40 days earlier. And here suddenly, or 50 days, here we have Peter now standing in the city proclaiming the gospel. I've always thought this interesting that we have record of Jesus having brothers, several brothers, and two sisters at least. But it says that they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him. And then all of a sudden, somehow they're in this room of 120. His brothers, his mom is there. I don't know about his sister, it doesn't say that. But you've got his family there. I wonder if when Jesus appeared to over 500 people, if he went home too. I wouldn't be surprised if he appeared in front of his brothers and his sisters, you know, and showed them, you know, those who didn't believe in him, because suddenly they're here a few days later in the upper room. That's my speculation of what happened. And they get baptized in the Spirit. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit. And their lives are changed. Of course, James, his brother, becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Then he writes a book. That's the book of James in the Bible. Jude, that's his other brother. That's another book in the Bible. Two of his brothers who didn't believe in him, they're here getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and their lives change entirely. One of the things that Peter preaches is this message. After he preaches his message in Acts chapter 2, I won't go through what he says, but in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this," these thousands of people gathered around the house, "they were pierced to the heart," meaning they were convicted. "And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" What do you want us to do? We're convicted that, yes, we're the one who crucified Jesus. What do you want us to do now? It reminded me of the story I told you last week of that witch doctor who met Jesus. Right before he did, he asked me, "What do you want me to do?" God was working on the inside of him, and it was just the next thing was for him to get saved, basically. So Peter says to them, verse 38, "Repent, change your mind, you're thinking about Jesus. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive," there's the word again, "the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you," this is so important, this verse, "the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you today," right here, "and your children," he's saying to them, "and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." This day was not a day for Pentecost day only. This was a day for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and all who are far off, every generation, including everyone in this room. Thank you, Lord. I get upset with the enemy and how he is brought in all of this cessationist teaching, meaning that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, the work of the Holy Spirit has ceased, it stopped, it only worked back then. He only worked back then. That's ludicrous. It's unscriptural, and it waters down and puts the Spirit of God in this tiny little box that used to be rather than that is right now, and is moving and working and healing and touching lives, doing the miraculous today. Peter's saying he is for every generation, all of us. This is the mystery of all mysteries as well. Colossians 1:27 talks about this great mystery of Christ by the Spirit living inside of you. It is a mystery, and it is spectacular, and it's beautiful. The God in Isaiah 40 says he fits the universe in the palm of his hand. Think about this. The universe that we have no idea how big it is, really. But to God, it fits right here. The entire universe, right here. And then the same God says, I can only fit the whole universe in my hand, but I can move by myself, by my Spirit, and I will move on the inside of you and live inside of you. That makes no sense. That's mind-blowing. And it's beautiful. There's nothing like this in all the world or any religion or anything. God himself coming and living on the inside of us, those that he paid for and purchased out of sin and darkness and shame, and then moves on the inside of them to live through them, to love them, to comfort them, to help them, and to live through them. Incredible. Peter then, after he gets baptized in the Spirit, says to a lame man, silver and gold we don't have. Here's what we do have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. This lame man gets up. I'm sure there was some rattling sound, and he stood up and he starts jumping around. Boldness hits him, a confidence. The Holy Spirit brought confidence. He brings confidence to those that he fills. That's also a mark of the Holy Spirit, a signature of the Spirit, is confidence. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about Peter and John having confidence. And people were scratching their heads like, why should these guys, uneducated fishermen, have confidence? That's because they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've been with Jesus. Stephen and Philip, remember these guys? They were not apostles. Stephen and Philip were not apostles. They were serving tables. They're serving tables, making sure that the widows got fed. But my guess is they were probably in the upper room. They've been following Jesus for a while. And next thing you know, you get both of them going in different directions, and miraculous things take place as they are filled with the Spirit and they move out and they start ministering. It says of Stephen that he was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And we know the story where even Jesus stands up from the throne as Stephen starts, he gets martyred, he's killed because of what he's doing. But great signs and wonders happen through Stephen, a non-apostle. And then Philip, similarly, he begins to proclaim Christ. It says of both Stephen and Philip that they were full of the Spirit. That was what set them apart. They were full of it, of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit of God. So much so that the Spirit of God was leaking out, kind of like what Jesus said in John 7. Rivers of living water were coming out of them. Rivers of living water. And two guys who were serving tables are suddenly changing cities. Miracles, signs, wonders. The crowds are amazed. People are amazed. Other apostles hear about what's going on through Philip, and they trek down there to go see what's going on. And they see all these people. It says, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out with a shout and with a loud voice. Many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So when Peter and John show up, says this, they came down, Acts chapter 8, verse 15, they came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they believed in Jesus. They had maybe been healed, maybe been set free, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. for he had not fallen. Here's the scriptural way to describe this, that he, the Holy Spirit, had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's a separate experience between salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they will happen simultaneously, or one right after the other, baptism of the Holy Spirit right after getting saved. Sometimes there's a separation in between those. And oftentimes that separation is because we don't know that there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened here. They didn't know. They didn't understand that. So here's what Peter and John started to do. Then they begin laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on them, said, it's amazing to believe in Jesus. But how about, do you want what the gift that he sent, the Holy Spirit? You can have him too. So they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter and John recognized the believing in Jesus is one thing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is another thing. Cornelius, 10 years later, 10 years after Pentecost, Cornelius, a non-Jew, worked for the Italian cohort. He was praying, giving resources to the Jews, had a love for God. God speaks to him. You know the story. I won't go through the whole story. Sends for Peter. Peter treks 2 or 3 days to get there. Shows up at Cornelius' house, Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words with Cornelius and all of his friends he'd gathered, the Holy Spirit, uses this terminology again, fell. He moved. He fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised Jews who were believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So we've got basically 10 years from Pentecost, and those who were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, were all Jews or former Jews, now followers of Jesus. And then a new phase begins, a new chapter in this book where the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, now can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit also. Now, they didn't have flames of fire on their heads. It was a different experience than Pentecost Day. Little different. There wasn't necessarily, doesn't say, that there was the sound of a mighty, violent, rushing wind like a freight train. Their experience was different. But the same Holy Spirit falling upon them or descending and filling them. And I found, too, that for every believer following Jesus, we probably won't have the same experience of Pentecost Day with flames of fire above our heads. It will probably be different. That's because God does unique things with every person. He moves in unique ways with every single one. But yet, there was a baptism there. So that was 10 years after Pentecost. Let's go 25 years after Pentecost. 25 years after Pentecost. We've got Paul, who's now saved. He's preaching, traveling around. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus. Now we're in a different country. Certainly non-Jewish believers. And he found some disciples. So these are followers of Jesus. Paul finds some followers of Jesus in Ephesus, 25 years after Pentecost. And he said to them, verse 2, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when you believed? When you believed in Jesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit also? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They had no idea that the Holy Spirit could come and live on the inside of them, baptize them, fill them, separate from their belief in Jesus. And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. So instead of fell on them here, it says came upon them, came on them. And they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. So in this case, again, we have them speaking with tongues and prophesying. That didn't also happen every single time, immediately. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But still a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You realize that in our country now, here we are, 2025, in America, that there was a poll done, some sort of a study to find this out, they asked this question, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And they're asking Christians, okay? This is a poll over Christians. I'm going to quote here, of self-identified Christians in America, 58% contend that the Holy Spirit is not a real living being, but merely a symbol of God's power, presence, and purity. 58% of Christians. Now that, so imagine what the number might be for those who actually believe and have been baptized in him. We're talking a small number. I hate the devil. He has pulled the wool over people's eyes. And the great gift that Jesus was planning to give and gave, the enemy has seduced and deceived so many people, great, wonderful Christian people, to believe that he is just a symbol. He didn't come to fill you. He didn't come to move through you or heal other people through you. That's sad to me. It's heartbreaking to me. We want the fullness of what God has, right? Not to be better than anybody or to have more information than someone else. It has nothing to do with that. But if God has prepared this for us, we want him all the way so that we can allow him to fulfill the purposes of God through our lives. I'm telling you what, you get on the mission field. I found many people who went to the mission field not believing in the Holy Spirit, coming back believing in the Holy Spirit because they realized how desperate they were without him moving through their lives. And we need that same kind of desperation here, recognizing we've got to have the Holy Spirit more than just saying some words, more than just a belief in my head. I need the Spirit of God. I want to partner with God, partnering with God himself in the earth. Calvinism brought the cessationist teachings that the Holy Spirit doesn't do these things anymore, but it's just not scriptural. Today I'm celebrating Pentecost and moving forward with the Holy Spirit inside of us to do all that he wants to do all the way until Jesus returns. All right. You know, it's when Paul found believers who had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he didn't get angry with them. He didn't think he was better than them. His heart was, I want you to have him too. I want you to be baptized like I've been baptized. I want you to have dreams like I have dreams. I want you to have visions like I have visions, prophetic words like I have prophetic words. I want you, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, or more than y'all. He wanted everybody to have that though. Speaking in tongues, what a beautiful thing. The enemy, in addition to saying the Holy Spirit doesn't do those things anymore, he will also say, and it's been taught in many churches, and many of you probably have had this taught to you when you were growing up, perhaps in some churches, that actually speaking in tongues or a demon getting kicked out or a prophetic word or a word of knowledge is actually the demonic. Attributing the demonic to things that the Holy Spirit does. That's such a twist that the enemy has done. I hate it. We should not be one bit afraid of the Holy Spirit in the sense of, I'm not talking about the fear of God. We have a high respect for him, and we care more about what he thinks than anybody else. I'm not talking about that. but afraid of the Holy Spirit, like being weird. Just weird things are going to happen. That's another twist the enemy has done. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He's the Spirit of God who formed everything, and he will do things that maybe are unusual to us and may appear weird, and certainly people have acted weird beyond what the Holy Spirit has done. That has happened many times as well, where it's given him a bad name, in a sense. But he is marvelous. He is spectacular. He heals. He's healed me. He gives prophetic utterances. Everything I'm involved with in my life, that's major things, have all came through prophetic utterances. Without the Holy Spirit, I would not be in Winston-Salem. I would not be married to Debbie Peterson. All those things came through the Spirit of God. I am so grateful. And we need him to direct us through words of knowledge, through words of wisdom, through insight, through being led into all truth, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will help us. He'll lead us into all truth. He'll reveal Jesus to us in greater ways. He reveals the plans and purposes of God. God did not leave us alone. This is one of the most amazing things, is that God chose to not leave us alone. He chose to move into us, to guide us through this difficult life, and to help us, and that rivers of living water would flow through us. The Holy Spirit is the more of God that people might be looking for. It's him. And we can talk to him. He is God. And we can receive him. You know, part of my personal story, growing up, met the Lord when I was 7, had that experience of salvation when I was 7. And in my teenage years, I was at a church where they believed in the Holy Spirit and some of the gifts of the Spirit as well. And so I would see people speaking in tongues, and I wanted that. And so I started to say, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. I had some people pray for me, nothing. I was a bit frustrated. I kept asking the Lord, I want this. What's going on? And then you can even begin to believe, well, maybe he doesn't want it for you. That's what the enemy will do. You know what? Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells a story where he says that God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it is in God's heart to give us his Spirit. And it's also in his heart, as Jesus said, and I've read a dozen times at least, for us to receive him. That's our part. Believing and receiving. And so when I started to get this understanding, I was about 19, and the thought hit me, well, God wants me to have this. So if I'm not receiving it, what am I doing wrong here? And the thought came to me, everything we get in God, we get by faith. I need to believe that he wants to give him just like he says he wants to. And so I changed my approach from waiting for something to whack me or fall upon me in a sense that I would be just undone and my tongue would start doing that. Instead of that, let me believe by faith. I'm asking. He wants to give him to me. Let me now receive and believe that I'm receiving him. Completely different posture. And when I did that, everything changed. I received him by faith. Now, my tongue still didn't start moving immediately. And that was another thing of faith. I then started to then step out with little syllables that didn't make any sense to me, but believing that he was in me, that he'd filled me, that he baptized me. And now I'm going to start to speak. And as I did, these little syllables started becoming words. And I didn't feel my hair standing up on the back of my neck. I had no goosebumps. None of that. And over time, it just like this flow of another language. And that language changes sometimes. in different situations, and it'll change. And now that's been 35 years or so since that happened. But part of it was, for me at least, was believing by faith that he had given this to me, because I'd asked him. Sometimes it happens through the laying on of hands. Sometimes you won't feel a thing. Sometimes you will. Some people, they get prayed for the Holy Spirit, and they hit the deck. There's an experience there. I have a friend. She grew up in a Calvinistic type of teaching. And her friend had just died, so she was going to her friend's funeral. She and I had talked about the Holy Spirit. She didn't believe in this. She was a cessationist. But as she's filling her car with gas, a guy sees her, walks over to her, true story, says to her, you know, do you know Jesus? She said, yes. He said, well, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And she said, no. He said, well, you're about to. And here she didn't believe it, and she didn't want it. And he said, you should step against your back up against your car. And he's thinking, because you might fall out. She's thinking, yes, to get away from you. That's a... She backed up against her car. I don't know if he touched her, but he stretched out his hand and asked that the Holy Spirit would fill her. And she fell on the front, on the hood of her car, while she's filling her gas in her car. She falls on the hood of her car, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, and begins speaking in other tongues. And the sorrow and torment that she had had from her friend dying, she's on her way to the funeral, just amazing. God healed her. He comforted her in such powerful ways. Now, that was her experience, completely different than my experience. Completely different. Every one of you, you have different experiences and stories. But for every single one of us, God wants to move on the inside of you with power and change you. Change us to be more like Jesus. Change us to be bold. Change us to have courage and not fear. Change us to have peace instead of anxiety. Change us to be like Jesus, to be like his disciples who were changed, to live and do what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will you do also. And even greater works than these will you do, because I am going to the Father. In other words, I'm going to the Father and sending the Holy Spirit to do these works through you. He has this for every single one of us. There's amazing comfort with the Holy Spirit. Amazing truth. You read the Bible. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you read the Bible, and all of a sudden there's like revelation. The words like almost lift out of off the page. And not every single time, but what I'm talking about is like this revelation comes, insight that you didn't hear taught. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He helps us. He comforts us. He gives you words of knowledge for people. You could be praying for someone or looking at someone. This happened to me last night. And you start to see something about them or for them that you don't know in the natural. That's the Holy Spirit. All nine gifts of the Spirit are fully active today. All nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need the fruits and the gifts. Some people say, especially the cessationists would say, you just need the fruits of the Spirit. No, we need the gifts and the fruits. I don't want 50% of the Holy Spirit. I want 100%. I want all that he has. All that was in the heart of Jesus to give to me by his Spirit, I want. All the way. We need so desperately, as he has sent the Spirit to prepare his body, his bride, for his return. We need the Holy Spirit. Let me give you, I'll end with this here, I think. Billy Graham said this, I'm convinced that to be filled with the Spirit is not an option, but a necessity. It's indispensable for the abundant life and for fruitful service. The Spirit-filled life is not abnormal. It is the normal Christian life. Anything less is subnormal. It is less than what God wants and provides for his children. Therefore, to be filled with the Spirit should never be thought of as an unusual or unique experience for or known by only a select few. It is intended for all. He's spot on. So true. Thank you, Lord, for Billy Graham. By the way, that's how my grandma got saved. And part of my Christian heritage on that side came that way. I'm so grateful. All right. More than I want, God wants you and I to all, every single one of us in here, every single person watching, to be filled, baptized, overflowing, gushing out over with the Holy Spirit. Not just containing him. It's a little bit like this. You know, you can get contained, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you when you get saved, but when you become baptized on the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water, it's John chapter 7 right there, so you'll remember that one. Rivers of living water will flow out of you. Doesn't just stay in you. Flows out of you. Let me invite the prayer teams to come on up. And here's the thing. Perhaps some of you in here are like what we read about in Acts chapter 19, or maybe you didn't hear there was a Holy Spirit, or that there was a baptism for the believer beyond salvation. There is. It's not weird. It's not abnormal. It's completely normal. It's exactly what Jesus paid for us to be filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. Some perhaps here would have been taught that anything related to what used to be the gifts of the Holy Spirit is now a demonic manifestation. Let me just say, that's a lie. That teaching is completely false. There's nothing in the scripture about that. There's not one cessationist scripture. It's the exact opposite. Like Peter said, this is for you and your children and all who are distant from here. Every single one of us for every generation. Imagine God giving the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, that's enough. That is not how he's done this. He's given him to us to be with us, as Peter said, forever, forever. The Spirit of truth, the comforter, the helper, the one who baptizes us and does the amazing through us. So I would like to, for anyone, how about this? Two different things today. My old friend Joe Williams, when I walked into his house as a teenager, said to me, Matt, you look really low on the Holy Spirit. He could see something. It was like he was reading the fuel gauge in my car, but he was reading it on my heart, and I was on E for the Holy Spirit, and it felt so true. You know, there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says that. So we can be refilled with him over and over and over. You know, I run only so far on one gas tank full for my car. I got to go back and get it refilled. So for some, we've been baptized in the Spirit, and perhaps you need a new infilling. You can do that every single day. And it's simply opening yourself and receiving a brand new infilling of the Holy Spirit. For some of us, you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like that separate experience that we've been reading about today. If you would like to receive that, I'd like you to walk over here. We've got, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 teams over here. They would like to lay their hands on you and simply give through their bodies, through the Spirit inside of them, this Holy Spirit, just as the Bible describes. And so let's go ahead and do that now. If you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can go over there. They'll pray for you. For everyone else, you want to receive, let's receive a brand new infilling. And of course, everything that God does is by invitation. No pressure, no stress to do anything. There's always invitation. And so if you'd like to have a new infilling today on this Pentecost Sunday, so we celebrate the first time the Holy Spirit came, how about we receive him afresh and anew? We can do that very simply. It's just, if you're with me, maybe close your eyes and open your spirit man. Listen, this is not a brain thing. This is a spirit thing. So we open our spirit man to the Lord. We open up ourselves to God, and we're just going to ask him, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh and anew in Jesus' name. And just even imagine yourself like at the bottom of a waterfall, and you're tilting your head back and you open up your mouth and that waterfall is just jamming on the inside of you, filling you up to overflowing. The Spirit of God filling us
to overflowing, afresh and anew. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Even right now, we receive you by faith. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us forever. And thank you, Lord, for bringing your power to be witnesses, your joy, your freedom, your help, your truth, your comfort, your life. We receive you, Holy Spirit, right now. With every breath you breathe in, just receive him. You don't have to be thinking perfect thoughts. You don't have to have lived a perfect life. It's a free gift. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking for your power to manifest itself through us in lives touched and changed and helped. Lord, I'm asking for rivers of living water to flow through every single person watching, every single person here that is receiving you with a fresh infilling. Lord, I'm asking for the gospel, words, and message of life to come across their lips. For everyone who needs, wants to speak in a tongue that the enemy cannot understand, but you do, Lord, I ask that you give them tongues, your tongues, words and languages that are real or ones that are from heaven. In any way, Lord, I'm asking for messages in tongues, for words that you would give to them through their tongue language, and that they would begin to pray in the Spirit, building themselves up in their most holy faith, as it says in Jude. Lord, I ask for words of knowledge through their lives, all of us. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, dreams. Lord, we ask for dreams, clear dreams, dreams of heavenly things, dreams of what you want to do, dreams that are hope-filled and life-filled. Lord, I ask for visions, signs and wonders, Lord, like you were doing in the first, second century, and you've done all the way through. We ask, Lord, that you would do those things through us and in us, that we would fulfill all of your purposes that you have in our life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are not restricted and we don't restrict you. Have your way in us, through your people, in this church, in the body of Christ, in this city. Move, Holy Spirit. Reconcile people to Jesus. I pray for bondages to be broken off of people even today, even right now, as you are filling us, that there would be addictions broken in Jesus' name. Anxiety broken, fear severed, kicked out in Jesus' name, completely replaced by the Spirit of the living God. In every part of this house, our individual homes, our beings, Holy Spirit, come, reside, dwell. In Jesus' name. I think for many of you right now, you're thinking about things you wouldn't normally think about in good ways. Perhaps even words of knowledge or thoughts for other people, things you want to say to others, give away. The Holy Spirit does that so many times. He just starts to give you ideas. That's how one way that he works is to give you ideas and thoughts of saying something to someone, of giving something to someone, of ministering and praying for someone, of proclaiming even. Sometimes it's healing. But the way that God does so many things is through his people, by his Spirit, inside of us. We receive you, Holy Spirit, today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.